Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. Now, Dave, just a quick comment regarding the action here after the Fed meeting and Fed statement. The Fed really could not have, I think, telegraphed that taper any better because it was a lack of volatility, lack of surprise in the markets yesterday and even in today. But when we look at the precious metals, it's kind of interesting. Precious metals, gold and silver, faded a little bit early on in the week heading into that taper announcement. Today, we're seeing gold and silver up nicely, pretty much almost the exact level that they were down just yesterday. We're seeing the stocks move in opposite directions. Yesterday, with the gold down about 20-something dollars, the stocks, GDX, GDXJ, they were actually up, those ETFs. But today, what we're seeing is gold now up, let's say $23, the ETFs fading. They're kind of flat on the day, but still, you would expect them to be much higher when gold's up almost a percent and a half. Dave, quick comments. What's your takeaway from this action post-Fed meeting?
Yeah, Corey, it continues to be frustrating for both bulls and bears in this sector. We had, in the beginning of Fed speak week this week, we had gold coming out of the chute, you know, firm, and the miners were selling off, albeit, you know, they were short-term overbought. They'd reached, you know, RSI levels on the daily charts where they needed to correct. And they did start to correct while the gold price was remaining firm. And then on Wednesday, pre-Fed speak, we had a big move down in the gold price, and the shares started to go down with it. And then in the middle of it, they just started to turn up, even before Powell came out and basically said what everybody expected him to say. And even though the gold price was down 20 bucks, both the GDX and GDXJs printed solid white candles and were up and looked like they were starting to build that right shoulder of an inverted head and shoulders bottoming pattern on their charts. And then today, you know, we had the gold price come out right out of the chute, what the shares were predicting, because that's basically what the shares have been doing all week. They've been predicting what the gold price is going to do. So the shares and gold were up out of the chute, both GDX and GDXJ gapped up. But even though the gold price got stopped at 1800 yet again, this was a sign for some profit taking to come into GDX and GDXJ. And they're actually down as we're speaking right now with gold still up over 20 bucks. So it's been really frustrating for both bulls and the bears. But there are some bullish takeaways that came out of the meeting yesterday. Powell basically admitted that, hey, inflation's a lot stickier than we expected it to be. And even though they're tapering like everybody expected them to start tapering, $15 billion a month, that is data dependent. You know, one of their catchphrases, another one of their great catchphrases, that we're going to use our tools, you know, if it gets out of hand and we need to cut back on the taper or whatever. So everything's, you know, data dependent. And like you said, the Fed did a great job of this taper, you know, of pre-programming the market earlier, because the last time they started a taper, you know, everything sold off. So they pretty much did a much better job getting the market prepared for this taper. And, you know, the markets are remaining at all-time highs. So investors are saying, hey, why should I be in gold stocks? Because, you know, markets are still continuing to go higher.
Yeah, Dave, it's interesting that it doesn't seem that much of this has moved the markets at all. And the same plan that was going on before all of this Fed meeting this week is the same plan that's executing this week. So it's basically a big nothing burger, but that's because it was so well telegraphed and really most of this had been priced in. So the real question is, with gold kind of narrowing in on this 1800 range again like a magnet, we've had several technicians on the show this week that said Bollinger Bands are narrowing, we're getting ready for a big break one direction or the other. What do you think it's going to take to get gold out of this range it's been in for months, Dave? What kind of catalyst is it going to take? Is it going to be some kind of a technical catalyst where selling or buying starts? Or is there something else you're seeing on the horizon that's going to move these markets one way or the other?
That's a great question. You know, there are a few out there, you know, and also, you know, the reason why mining shares could be selling off here is because traders could be fearing a better than expected jobs report for one tomorrow. I mean, the last two jobs reports have been terrible. And yet the Fed's basically said, you know, we're going to taper anyway, because we don't expect the market to reach maximum employment until the middle of next year. So basically the Fed's going against their mandates here. But as far as a catalyst is concerned, we've got this debt that continues to spiral out of control. And I think one catalyst might be is the stock market is due for a correction here. You know, it's overbought on the daily, on the weekly. This move has gotten extended. And, you know, the Democrats have not been shy about saying they're going to raise taxes next year. So if investors think that their taxes are going to go up next year, capital gains taxes going up next year, they're going to start taking profits this year. Especially at the valuations we're seeing right here, they're going to take some profits and get back in next year. So all it takes is some selling to start and selling begets selling. And then you're going to see some safe haven buying coming into the gold price, I would think. But the numbers to watch, I mean, look at the gold price. It's now narrowed that range from about 1750 to about 1815. So it's a narrow range of about $65 ever since the beginning of October. And, you know, those weekly Bollinger Bands are really tightening. I think they haven't been this tight since 2019. And the monthly Bollinger Bands haven't been this tight since 2015. So we're about to get a strong move in either direction. And it looks like, as far as the macro is concerned, that move would be up. But it would be will it be enough to get it past 1850? I mean, that's the first major hurdle, I think, 1840, 1850. And then the biggest hurdle is 1900. And then on the downside, a big hurdle is 1720, and then that biggest hurdle is 1675. So I don't see a catalyst now to get the gold price over either of those levels. But black swan events happen, and it could be a black swan event related to what I was talking about, or the geopolitical situation. And China's getting worked up, but we never like to see gold go up on geopolitical situations because that always comes back down. We want to see macro reasons for the gold price to go up.
I completely agree, Dave, but boy, oh boy, I start to get worried when I hear that for gold, bulls were depending on black swan events and geopolitical issues. That's never good in my eyes. Fact of the matter is, there are some fundamental factors that you think should be moving gold higher. Higher inflation and still low interest rates. However, if you take a step back and look at everything, I think in a kind of level-headed sense, we are seeing rates generally move higher. And the market is starting to price in a rate hike for next year. And I realize so much can happen before then, but the market is telling us that's what they're pricing in right now. But it also goes back to that inflation data that I thought gold was supposed to be an inflation hedge. It hasn't really shown that as inflation has stuck around. Maybe it's more about the rate of change of inflation, but still, inflation's around 5%. Gold continues to trend down. There's a big disconnect there between what some of the gold bugs are saying will drive gold and what actually is driving gold. Can you make some sense of that for us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, the biggest driver for gold in my eyes has been, ever since I got into this market nearly 20 years ago, is gold is a hedge against investors losing faith in government and their policies. I believe that it's starting to happen with the Fed, but it hasn't happened in a big way yet. And as far as the inflation is concerned, I mean, the same thing happened back in the 70s. You know, when the inflation started, Arthur Burns was saying the same thing. It's transitory. It's not going to be around forever. It's going to come back down. And the gold price went down $100 after it went from $35 to $200. It corrected 50%. And the inflation was already here when that was corrected. So it took a while to come into the gold market. And you could tell in the way Powell was talking yesterday. There, you know, this is a very difficult market for them to try to maneuver. I mean, these governments shut down these economies on purpose, and now they're opening them back up. So that's a very difficult thing to do. And it's a very difficult thing to manage for the Fed. You know, I kind of feel sorry for Powell, you know, in a way, because it's a very difficult job right now. And the gold sector, you know, like I said, I've been in this sector for 20 years, and this is the most difficult scenario I've seen in the gold market right here. You know, all the wind is at our sails. You know, inflation is becoming increasingly problematic, and that is being acknowledged by the Fed. Real interest rates remain deeply negative, and that is not going to change anytime soon. Monetary policy continues to be highly accommodative. I mean, they're only cutting back $15 billion of $120 billion, you know, QE program a month, and that they might even have to dial back on. And physical gold buying centered in the East, in China and India, has risen dramatically. And this is, it's seasonally, this is the time when it starts to go higher, with Diwali happening in India. It's macro and investment reasons is the reason why you see big moves in gold. But the physical buying does help, and you are seeing that in the East right now.
Yeah, Dave, as Frank Holmes always said, it's either the fear trade or the love trade. And the Diwali and the wedding season in India, as well as some of the Asian buying, is usually that love trade, which we're not seeing that big of a deal this year on that either. So when we look at the mining stocks, our beleaguered miners, and see that, you know, the lack of traction, we were talking off mic that, you know, a lot of them are going to get to the point where they've done their work programs. Not a lot has happened in the sector for the last year, and they're going to need to raise money again. Mm-hmm. So obviously we want to be looking at cashed up companies, but how are you positioning your portfolio in these times, or what kind of stocks are you looking at right now to weather the storm or to benefit from a potential upleg?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I got into a couple that are going to need cash early next year because they just look so cheap. I mean, they've got all this gold in the ground. And I know they're going to have to raise money, but they're so cheap in relation to what the gold price is, in relation to the gold they've already proved up in the ground is, and how much they're trading per ounce of that gold in the ground. Was it a mistake for me to buy into those? Could that have been too soon? Maybe, but I mean, they've gone down so much, 75, 80%, the one or two that I bought. So I just thought to myself, hey, I'm expecting to at least, like, you know, the tax loss selling bounce that we usually get, you know, maybe I'll end up selling those for a small profit. I don't like to do that because I bought them so cheap in relation to what they're de-risking in their jurisdiction and how much gold they've already got in the ground. I've also bought a couple others that have had really nice moves, and they're up, you know, high double digits. But I've still got some cash left, and I could either add one more or just add to the positions that I already hold right now. So I'm debating on whether what I'm going to do there. But I really think these shares are sold out, Chad. I really do. I mean, can they go down more? Sure, they could. But you're not going to see these big, huge blowout moves down anymore. You know, we're getting to that time of year where most of the tax loss sell has already taken place since it started so early. You know, the crappy companies, of course, you're going to see more tax loss selling because they're crappy companies. But I think the quality companies, the tax loss selling is pretty much dried up. And they're trading it at such deep discounts here. But we just don't know when this move up is going to happen, or like I said, this move down. I mean, we could see that move down. I mean, but if we do see that move down, it's already priced into the stock. You know, these juniors are already trading as if gold's at $1,500. And I think the downside, if it does break to the downside, and that 1675 level does get broken, which I don't see happening, but you never say never in this sector. I wouldn't see it going any lower than 1590, 1600.
Never say never in this sector, Dave. You are right. That's a real takeaway here. And look, these Bollinger Bands, they have tightened to levels that we saw back in 2015. And remember, that took 4 years, pretty much 4 years to work its way through in that boring period. So let's see where stuff goes. But this year, 2021, not the best year for precious metals investors. Hopefully 2022 is better. But I don't know, as we turn the corner into that year, I do think there need to be some pretty drastic changes made in investor psychology, especially when it comes to the metals. Dave, thanks as always for your time, man. We'll chat again next week. Have a great weekend.
You too. I look forward to it.